guys. Hear all the country music. Hear the fantasy fools in 3, 2...
Every fantasy has one fool, but this one has two. And the greatest lesson in life is to know even fools are right sometimes.
Looks like the upper hand is on the other foot.
It's time for the Fantasy Fool Show.
Tell us, pray do.
Here's Brian and Mac.
Well, welcome to the show. I can't believe week after week just flies by. Here we are talking about week 9 and 10.
Yes, week 10 time. Is upon us, folks.
Wow. Mac, how you doing?
I'm doing splendidly.
Fantastic. You know, I think I'm not sure. Is this a thinking town with a fantasy football problem, or is it a fantasy football town with a thinking problem?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. So, another wacky week here.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes thought he was going to have a dud of a game.
Yep.
That kind of turned around a little bit.
Turned around pretty quickly. In fact, I'm starting to wonder, as I look at my notes here, I'm starting to wonder if defense really even matters this season. Although it did matter on Sunday night with that Saints defense showing up.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, the Saints have catapulted themselves into the discussion as the best team in the NFC, which I think they probably are.
Well, see, and that was the surprise in the beginning of the year. Like, okay, the Saints are they going to be one of the duds of the year? What's the deal here? What happened to them?
But yeah, I think they're kind of like they were in this, not as severe, but in the same boat as the 49ers, really banged up. You know, when you have Michael Thomas banged up, Drew Brees is sore, and you've got, you know, some defensive pieces that are out, you know, they're starting to get healthy. And I think you'd see the same if the 49ers ever got healthy. I mean, they would leap up, you know, into a different category.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, Michael Thomas was part of plan A, B, C, and D, and they had to go to plan E.
Yeah, and they have a really solid defense, and if you look at their offense, when their offense is completely healthy, Drew Brees doesn't need to throw it 100 yards.
No.
He only needs to throw those short to mid-range passes and hand it off or throw short passes to Alvin Kamara.
And that's not good for fantasy football.
No. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Tua. Is this what we're going to see now?
I hope so. And okay. I think so. And if so, this could rival that vaunted, this particular group of rookie quarterbacks is just
it's amazing.
Superb. Yeah.
This is Herbert's
fantastic.
Awesome. Fun to watch. It's interesting too, because Lamar Jackson is just kind of like,
yeah. Yeah. Lamar Jackson. I'm a Lamar Jackson owner in one of my leagues. And it's just to the point where I was actually on Sunday morning at 11:30 thinking about starting Drew Lock instead of Lamar Jackson, and I ultimately didn't. Wouldn't have mattered. I lost anyway. But that's where we're at as Lamar Jackson owners.
Oh, no
and
doubt.
That's what we're thinking about.
Yeah. McCaffrey, he came out a stud and left a dud because he got hurt. It's simply because he got hurt.
Week to week again, so monitor that status. And I know a lot of people dropped Mike Davis, so you better get right back on that waiver wire and look for Mike Davis. Especially if you're a McCaffrey owner, it's at this point foolish if you're not trying to get Mike Davis as that quote-unquote handcuff.
Yeah, don't drop him. Jerry Jeudy, I think, maybe going to step into the limelight a little more. Tim Patrick was stealing the show a little bit, very quietly there, but now, and Jeudy was getting all the press.
Yeah, when you think about teams with offensive weapons, okay, if Drew Lock is healthy, which he is, he's got Noah Fant, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, these are all explosive offensive players. Now, it looks like Melvin Gordon may have lost a step. He doesn't look like his normal self, but still. I mean, these are really solid offensive weapons, and I think that sneakily, Denver could be a major player in the fantasy world in the coming weeks, especially as we head into the playoffs.
I agree with you. I really do. I had Tim Patrick, and if I could pick him up again, I probably will. You really like, and you've always liked, Smokey Brown.
I do. He's not been healthy. I love John Smokey Brown, and I think he's, again, this is another one of those situations where all of a sudden you blink and you look at the Bills, and they've got a ton of offensive playmakers. They struggle in the running game, so they're going to have to really lean on that passing game moving forward, and I think you saw that on Sunday afternoon. He's super fast, and he's just one of those quiet players who just gets the job done. So him complemented with Stephon Diggs, watch out.
Yeah, right.
And then Cole Beasley is in there too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they've got it together. I mean, they have the ability to pull it off
absolutely
through the rest of the season. You look at the Packers a little bit, Valdez-Scantling, MVS.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, he's been showing up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, he's had butterfingers.
He has. I think he probably heard that, you know, with the trade deadline last week, I think he probably heard some of those whispers that, you know, they were going to try to bring in another receiver.
Right.
And that's and the fact that they didn't sometimes serves as the sort of shot across the bow.
Right.
That, you know, your time is limited here unless we can really get you involved. And when he is on and gets involved, he is a tremendous playmaker. But they need that another receiver.
Yeah, they've got to have it. Jonnu Smith with the Titans. I've got him. I put him on my bench because I've just kind of I'm bummed out the way the Titans are playing.
Yeah,
they let was it Luan? They lost their guard.
Yeah,
their major guard, and I can't believe one lineman would make that big a difference in the entire game for the Titans. But it is
absolutely yes, and you know also if you're looking for some tight end help. T.J. Hockenson should not be on any waiver wires.
No.
He's been great for 3+ weeks now. And also Evan Engram for the New York Football Giants has had really 2 great weeks in a row. And the Giants all of a sudden look like they're putting it together. Now, by no means am I saying they're contenders, but, you know, if you're looking for offensive pieces, I mean, they've got nothing to lose. They're going to air it out. I mean, lock and load.
Yeah, no doubt. So we slide into duds here.
Oh,
and, you know,
God.
We mentioned Lamar Jackson a little bit, but Tom Brady, it's hard to call Tom Brady a dud, but he was number one.
If you, he was.
Because he only got 1 point.
Well, you know, if you play in a league that penalizes you for interceptions, in one of my leagues, Tom Brady posted a spectacular 1 point. 1 point. which is, you know, I hate to laugh, but it is kind of fun to laugh at Tom Brady because he's had so much success, and you know he's you know it's fun to see him lay an egg once in a while.
Yeah, and you know you can have all those weapons and still not make it work.
Yeah, you know, and then you know some players really really hurt us this week that we thought were in smash spots. I mean, what about James Conner and Josh Jacobs for the Steelers and Raiders respectively?
Yeah, and you know James Conner, I've got him in one league. And he looks lost on the bench.
Yep.
I don't know. There's something going on with Connor. I'm not sure what it is, but something's going on.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, I mean, he's been great all week. You cannot complain. He never comes out of your lineup. But when he has an 8-point performance, it is going to hurt you. And that's going to happen from time to time.
Justin Jackson, I've never been a Justin Jackson fan. He was hurt. And I just not believing that he was going to be the guy for the Chargers. Hasty. Everybody went on. I grabbed Hasty because of the bad advice that I got from Yahoo on Jonathan Taylor. He's going to be an RB3. They're not going to use him. Well, he didn't use that much, but he was the top fantasy scorer for the Colts. And so I'm just going to stick with Taylor. But Hasty was a bomb. But that was because of negative game script, and they didn't need a running back. They needed Jerick McKinnon.
Absolutely. Some receivers that really let us down, too. I mean, Justin Jefferson, I thought, was in a smash spot with the Vikings, and he had a quiet game. Now, the Vikings are quietly putting it together as well. And as long as Dalvin Cook is there, I think that's gonna eat into people like Justin Jefferson because they're not going to have to pass as much. And I think that this is where we get into some trouble because as long as you can keep Kirk Cousins from passing, he's not going to hurt you.
And that's the truth.
So they've got to they're going to give Dalvin Cook the ball 100 times a game if they need to.
Right. So Dalvin Cook owners.
Giddy up.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Giddy up. I think some quiet games, too, from tight ends. Gronk had a quiet game, and I think that's what you're going to see. He's not going to be a week-to-week tight end. And I think Mark Andrews really disappointed some people, too. But the Colts are a really good defense. I think that the final score was 24-10. That did not indicate that did not reflect the true nature of that game. I mean, it was a very close game. And when you play the Colts, you feel it afterwards. I mean, they are a hard hitting, fierce defense. And the Ravens are just good.
Well, and then you look at Big Bob, Robert Tonyan with the Packers. He got hurt.
Yep.
And the Packers found out they have another, two other tight ends that are just as good as Big Bob. And they're spreading the ball everywhere. So I'm a Tonyan guy. I've got him. He's out. I'm dropping him. I'm done. I'm moving on. He's boom or bust, and I'm going to go find somebody like Austin Hooper.
I think too, in terms of duds, going back to wide receivers, all of a sudden we've got a little bit of a mess in the Carolina wide receiver situation where you've got an embarrassment of riches, and you don't know who's going to go off. So when you've got – if you're a DJ Moore and a Robbie Anderson owner, you just don't know which one is going to be big.
I'm so mad because I wanted – Curtis Samuel the last two weeks, and I thought, you know what, it's just not going to happen, especially now with McCaffrey coming back. But nope, I was wrong again.
Yeah, and so that you start to see with some of these teams with these wide receiver situations, it's almost the same as a crowded backfield.
Right.
You're not afraid of them getting 8 to 10, maybe 11 points just based on receptions and receiving yards. But which one's going to get the touchdown? Which one is really going to go off? This is not, you know, a team like Carolina or Buffalo, which we just mentioned, is not the same as a team like Green Bay, where right. Valdes-Scantling may get into the action from time to time, but it is going to be Davante Adams' show week in and week out.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Yep, no matter what. If you need a few points, take a chance. If you need big points, don't bother. Really,
yeah.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
Fact or fiction coming up.
More of the Fantasy Fools next on K-Country 102.3. You're listening to the Fantasy Fools on K-Country 102.3.
Yeah, it's Brian and Mac talking about week number 9, and I guess we'll slide into week number 10 here as well. So let's dive right into fact or fiction. I guess I'm kind of curious. Are the Bucs exposed?
Yes.
You think so?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah, listen, teams are going to, you know, lay an egg once in a while, but I'll use a comparison here. A contender is someone like the Pittsburgh Steelers. They go into Dallas. They have a hard fight with Dallas. They end up winning. They win the games that are quote-unquote right. trap games. Now, that, the game against New Orleans was not a trap game because New Orleans is good. But you can't get shut out in the first half.
Yeah, that's
And you can't
horrible.
Get down 31 to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing.
Inexcusable. At home.
Yeah.
You know, with fans in the stands, you know, they had limited fans there. I mean, that was an embarrassment of epic proportions. And, you know, until they can be consistent week in and week out, their running game is a mess. Now they've got all of these receivers. Tom Brady looked terrible. Now, part of this has to do with the Saints. So you got to give the Saints a lot of credit. But if you're a contender, I don't care who you're playing. You can't get shut out in the first half and you can't lose. You know, you can't lose by that margin.
Right. The Saints obviously studied Brady and the Bucs.
Yeah.
And the Buccaneers just never, they never got into, coaching didn't even, played no part in the game.
No.
It was horrible.
It was over, you know, it literally was
right.
over
it
at
was
the
over,
half.
Yeah.
Because you just knew that they just, there was nothing they were going to be
yeah,
able to do.
Frankly, I thought it was over after the first quarter. But,
probably.
obviously, you think the Saints are for real then, right?
I do. And I think, you know, the Saints were just a matter of getting healthy. And so they just had to sort of weather the storm week in and week out, get some wins where they could get them. I know that, you know, they just weren't healthy. And now that they're healthy, I mean, you have to remember that they were close to the Super Bowl last year. And I think that some folks thought that they were going to go to the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
Now, the 49ers were good, so were the Packers. And the Packers are good again this year. But I think that if you look at those three teams, you know, if you think the Bucs are a contender, you also have to think of the Saints and the Packers as the other two NFC contenders.
True. Yeah, no doubt. The Bills win a shootout. We talked about that earlier. I think they can.
These are not your normal Buffalo Bills.
Right.
Like, when you think of Buffalo Bills historically, you think of sort of low scoring, sort of smash mouth, grind it out, AFC East type games. And this is not these Bills. I mean, they are absolutely tearing it up. You know, you have to get into a shootout with a team like Seattle. But, you know, I think the Buffalo Bills are one of, you know, many offensive juggernauts. Like, if you've got investment in Buffalo players, along with other teams like the Texans, the Jaguars, the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Broncos, the Cardinals. I mean, these teams have players that have just so much offensive explosion.
Right.
And they're good players to have on your teams.
All right, Chiefs and Steelers. Where are you at there? Are you worried or aren't you?
Well, some people are already saying that the Steelers are the best team in the AFC, especially after their grind-out win against Dallas. I still think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
Until they lose or don't go to the Super Bowl, they're the defending champs and they are, you know, still the best team. Now, the Steelers are built to beat the Chiefs. What I mean by that is they are set up to have an offense. Now, I know Connor laid an egg, but they're set up to have an offense that can slow the game down and a defense that can really get after receivers and also put pressure on the quarterback. Now, I know that they looked it was a little bit of a letdown on Sunday, but that's the way the Steelers are constructed. They are constructed to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So if those two teams end up, you know, facing each other in the playoffs, perhaps in a title game, what a treat that would be.
Oh, no kidding. Be a great game. Yeah, the Panthers play tough, and then the Dallas, like you say, you know, you wrote in the notes here, wounded. a cornered dog.
Yeah.
You know, and basically, in my thought was they poked the sleeping dog.
Yeah, well, you know, when you listen to, like, pregame stories and you read things in fantasy news and all of this and that, you know, people say, oh, this is just a great matchup. You know, the Steelers are just going to beat the Cowboys by 38. Folks have to remember that this is the National Football League. Right. And nobody wants to play Dallas right now. And I mean that because Dallas is desperate for a win. And, you know, think about somebody like the Packers when the Vikings come in there. Nobody wants to play the Vikings.
Right.
They're desperate for a win. The NFL football players are prideful, and they will give it every team, every game, their best shot. Even look at the Jets last night. Now, I know that wasn't really that much of a marquee matchup because both of those teams are down, but the Jets aren't giving up. You know?
Yeah, no, right. Yeah, right. How about the Raiders?
I like the Raiders a lot. They're sneaky good. I think they're 5-3 now. I think they're 5-3. And they're winning games in weird ways. And Derek Carr is quietly having a pretty decent season and is always a really decent bye week replacement.
And what's going on with the Colts?
I think it's one of those situations where you got a team with just an absolutely spectacular defense and their offense just isn't clicking. And I don't know. I think that probably has something to do with Phillip Rivers. I think it has something to do with an inconsistent wide receiver core, and their backfield is a mess as well. They 1 week they'll have a really great offensive performance, and then the next week they won't. Now, you have to give credit to the Ravens in this last game. Ravens have a great defense. But on the other hand, the Colts, they're one of those teams, like you think about the Vikings. The Vikings have a really good offense. Their defense has kind of slipped a little bit. But how long are they going to have a good offense and waste that, you know? And I think you're seeing that with the Colts. They have an incredible defense, one of the best defenses in the NFL. I would certainly say the top three or four defenses, along with the Steelers and the Ravens and a handful of others. But, they're just too inconsistent.
Okay, you mentioned the Ravens. They rebound, will they, or won't they?
I think so. I mean, it's you still can't give up on them. They still have one of the most exciting and talented players in the game with Lamar Jackson. Yeah. I think that one of their problems is that they can't get a passing game going.
Yeah,
you know,
tough.
You've got Hollywood Brown moaning and groaning, you know, about all of this. And then when they look his way, he drops passes.
Yeah,
it was just, you know, if you're going to open your big fat mouth, then you better show up on game day.
Right.
And you couldn't, you know, there were a couple of passes in that game that he should have caught and didn't. And that's just unacceptable.
Two guys that are keeping their mouths shut and just letting play speak for themselves. And in the MVP conversation very quickly here, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Patty Mahomes.
Yeah.
A lot of people are anointing Russell Wilson as the league MVP. I think he's actually third. I think that that's really close between Rodgers and Mahomes. I keep saying week in and week out, Russell Wilson's putting up historic numbers.
Yep, he's taking the team on his shoulders, and the INTs are getting in the way of the MVP conversation.
I think they are a little bit, and then very quietly, like when you look at Rodgers, and I think they really do take into consideration things like, you know, a quarterback rating and things like that. Look at Rodgers. I think he's only thrown two interceptions this year.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to dig into the numbers and get you the top five plays next.
More of the Fantasy Fools. You're listening to the Fantasy Fools on K-Country 102.3.
All right, so a Fantasy Fools show here on K-Country 102.3, and like the big guy said there. So I've got all kinds of numbers here. Let's dissect this thing. Most points allowed to quarterbacks, the Seahawks, the Falcons, and the Jaguars. Running backs are pulling points from the Packers, the Lions, the Texans. Wide receivers get points from the Seahawks, the Vikings, and the Browns. Tight ends, they're liking the Falcons, the Jags, and the Bengals. And then defenses, the Jets are there, and they'll probably always be there. Broncos and the Cowboys. Now we look at the red zone. Zach Moss is starting to pop up. Mm-hmm. Inside the 10, he's putting up some better numbers, or at least opportunities in the red zone. Brandon Ayuk, even though he didn't play Thursday, which is too bad that they didn't. Those that had San Francisco receivers really got screwed there. 78% owned. There's still an opportunity. He's got good numbers inside the 20 for wide receivers in the red zone. Jimmy Graham just keeps popping up. He's only 49% rostered. And I don't know why people aren't grabbing Jimmy Graham. I think maybe they're just not patient enough, or maybe they don't trust the Bears. I don't know.
Yep.
Snap counts for week 9. Jerick McKinnon, 42. Surprised a lot of people because there were a fair amount of folks that grabbed Hasty thinking he was going to be the guy, but it was a negative game script. It didn't work. So McKinnon, as long as Mostert's out, I'm guessing McKinnon is a play. John Brown, you know, Smokey Brown, 53 snaps. And Hayden Hurst, 51 snaps at the tight end position. And a little honorable mention there, Ravens' Nick Boyle, 50. Might be a little opportunity there, maybe. Keep an eye on him. And then targets, Leonard Fournette, 6. Mike Davis, 6. Mike Davis? But wait a minute.
Right.
Should have dropped him. No, that was a mistake. Jacoby Myers and Jerry Jeudy had 14 targets in Week 9, and then at wide receiver, and then at tight end. Evan Engram, again, he's starting to come on. 10 targets. Mm-hmm. And Jacob Hollister with the Seahawks, 7 targets. So there we go. That's kind of a big deal. All right, top five plays there, big feller.
Okay, at quarterback, I like Tua versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Fire up these rookies. I like Joe Burrow. What? Versus Pittsburgh, you say? Joe Burrow's going to throw it 50 times a game, you know, and Pittsburgh is a great defense, but they're not going to shut out
the
Bengals.
They have holes.
Absolutely.
They have holes.
Baker Mayfield, I like him in a really nice bounce back. You know, I think this sets up well for him if he clears COVID, which he will, versus Houston. I like Carson Wentz versus the New York Giants, and my bonus quarterback of the week, I really like what Drew Lock and the Denver Broncos are doing, and I'm not just saying that as a biased fan. At running back, I like James Conner. This is a bounce back week. I like James Conner to bounce back. You know, I like Josh Jacobs to bounce back for the Raiders. And I think you have to monitor. There are a couple of interesting things to monitor this week. David Montgomery is a solid running back. He's got to clear the concussion protocol. In a weird way, I don't know why, it's a gut feeling, and I don't do this a lot, but I like Latavius Murray this week.
Yeah, I agree with you.
For the New Orleans Saints. Now, they're playing the 49ers. The game script should be Saints playing from a lead. Kamara comes out. I think you look at Latavius Murray in the second half.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a sneaky, sneaky play.
I agree with that.
And take a look at that. And monitor other things like Mike Davis. We talked about McCaffrey being week to week. I would monitor that. You know, plug your nose with the Chargers backfield. Kalen Ballage comes out of the blue. You know, who the hell knows what's going on there? Wide receivers. I like both Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods versus Seattle. If, in case you haven't noticed, you know, Seattle gives up about 100 points a game through the air. So fire up all Rams receivers. Devontae Parker, I like him versus the Los Angeles Chargers. And you know I love Jerry Jeudy and even Tim Patrick in what's going to be a classic shootout between the Raiders and the Broncos. Tight ends, you mentioned Eric Ebron. I love him. I like Mark Andrews to bounce back. I like Tyler Higbee, again, Rams. I also like Gerald Everett, too. You can fire him up if you're desperate. I think both of them you could play against the Seahawks. And I like Jimmy Graham, too, this week.
Yeah,
you know, I agree with you on that. And then finally, for your team defenses, you think you got to fire up the Eagles. They're getting healthy. They're in the lead in that division versus the Giants, Packers versus Jags. The Saints versus the 49ers, and I like the Vikings D versus the Bears.
All right, we'll do the double down in just a bit.
Here we go.
More of the Fantasy Fools next on K-Country 102.3.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. We switch our clocks from daylight savings time. It's just as easy to switch and even save when you switch to State Farm. This is your local State Farm agent, Paul Cruz. I can switch you over so you can start saving today. We're ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood where it's easy to switch and save. Give me a call today at 692-5200 when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You're listening to the Fantasy Fools on K-Country 102.3.
All right, let's double down here, and the State Farm Double Down is brought to you by your local discount Double Check State Farm agent, Paul Cruz. You could save up to 30% when you drive safe and save, and you can ask for the Rogers rate or the Patrick Price, but I guess that's not a real thing. So, you know what? This is real, though. I'm doubling down on Antonio Brown. He looked awesome. He's rostered in 86% of leagues, which is crazy, because I think somebody should have him on their roster, even if it's on the bench, but he just looked... He looked really good, and I'm just waiting. Brady held him back. That was it. And that's all I got to say about that. I just think I'm doubling down on Antonio Brown.
Yep.
The panic button is for emergencies only.
Where's the button?
Here comes the meat wagon.
This is a class one emergency.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here we go with more injuries.
We got a couple of injuries to monitor. Matthew Stafford, he's cleared the concussion protocol. That's pretty much it on the quarterback front. I mean, Kyle Allen, I don't think anybody's starting him for Washington. He's done for the season. Running backs to monitor for concussions, David Johnson and David Montgomery. Christian McCaffrey's got the shoulder, and then Justin Jackson was injured too in the Chargers game. So monitor that as well. Monitor Nick Chubb. He's cleared to come back this week. So we'll see about that. Receivers, you got Calvin Ridley, Kenny Galladay, T.Y. Hilton, and Preston Williams for Miami. And that's kind of a sad one because Preston Williams was looking really good and having a great season. These aren't necessarily injuries, but we want to make sure that you make contingency plans for bye weeks. Jets, Chiefs, Cowboys, and Falcons. A lot of offense there going to be on bye this week. And then our Thursday night game is Colts at Titans.
All right, waivers coming up. The fourth quarter is running out.
More of the Fantasy Fools next on K-Country 102.3.
We're coming up in the two-minute warning.
That's the two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning.
Two-minute whistle blows, it's your ballgame.
Two-minute warning. Here we go.
Wow, we don't leave ourselves a whole lot of time to talk. I was going to say they don't, but you and I are the ones that are talking, so let's dive into this injury thing.
Waivers are pretty short this week. You know, there's probably not a lot out there, but if you're desperate, I don't even think if you're desperate. I think Tua is a great pickup. I also have mentioned Drew Lock. I think Drew Lock is going to be a great bye week replacement for folks. Denver's going to start airing it out, so take a look at that. For running backs, I think we're looking at backups. Duke Johnson, if David Johnson misses any time, and Mike Davis, if Christian McCaffrey misses any time. Also, you mentioned J.D. McKissic for the 49ers, Jordan Wilkins for Indianapolis, Kalen Ballage, who, what, where, when? I mean, the Los Angeles Chargers, who knows what's going on there, you know?
And you mentioned, mess.
And I don't think Curtis Samuel's going to be available on many waivers, but if he is, I mean, there's another pickup. But again, we mentioned the crowded wide receiver situation, so it's every week, you know, you have to be very careful. More of a flex, I think those receivers are becoming flexes.
I agree. The weather not going to play a role in a whole bunch of stuff here.
Maybe a little snow and some precipitation, but as of now, you know, just keep monitoring those winds. That's all we look for, especially on the Eastern Seaboard.
All right, Mitch says in an email to Fantasy Fools, tight end, Big Bob, Hooper, Higbee.
I like Higbee. I really do. I just think every Ram offensive player is in play against the Seattle Seahawks. You and I could suit up and probably score a touchdown.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? It really is. Another one here from Ben from the Real Rabbits. He's in a PPR league. Says Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Dez Bryant, are they worth it or just fashion jewelry?
I think they're totally worth having on your bench. I don't know if you're going to start them every week. I think you're going to be starting Brown every week. But I think, you know, Dez Bryant is just a weird one, you know.
I know, I wanted to pick him up last week.
You know, what if?
Yeah, that's the whole point. If you're struggling, and if you're at, like, for me, in one league, I'm on the cusp. Yeah. I either need to do it or don't, so, you
at
know,
at some point, mark my words, at some point, Baltimore is going to get Lamar Jackson passing. Yes. And it's going to happen. So why else would they bring in Dez Bryant? Yeah. You know, Harbaugh's a smart coach.
Yep, no doubt. Week 10 coming up. Good luck.
Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening.